Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So here was our assignment from yesterday. Common sense is the collection of prejudices acquired by age 18. Talk about a scary notion. If you've talked to an 18-year-old lately or can remember yourself at 18, common sense would be something we'd want to cut loose pronto. It would seem common sense is everything we've put together through childhood in order to survive the process of socialization. This becomes what I think and what I believe and my experience. In other words, all the places we look in conditioned mind rather than being present. Today, each time you're aware of going with what makes sense, ask yourself, why do I believe that? Record and listen. So here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Paula in South Carolina.
Hello, Paula.
Hello, Sherry. Gosh, it's so good to be on the call. I'm excited about an opportunity to be live. Oh, yeah, and just to prove conditioning wrong over and over and over again, and that's been a big part of my practice over the last few weeks.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, yes, and when we're paying attention, I think it's a big part of everybody's practice all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. And it is really good to see it, you know, with clarity, and it's been an interesting few weeks because as I was looking at it and you know to with the opportunity to be present and make this call today, I realized that it seemed that what has been happening is ego and conditioned mind has really been on the rampage. And I remembered something. I'm sure that I'll probably tear this up in the wrong way of how you said it, but it was something along the lines of, you know, when ego really ramps up, it's an opportunity. I mean, it means that you're getting somewhere, basically, with your practice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I do know what you mean. If ego is not threatened, things can be relatively quiet. But as soon as we start doing something that threatens its territory, then it's going to push back big.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was just so helpful to remember because I recall times in the past where it's just like I was just so grateful that nothing was going on. And this time I'm actually grateful today. I'm saying, you know what, I'm up to the task here. And
yep.
I have a very strong recording and listening practice, but I have ramped it up. And I have, between the email class and this project, Project Joy, even though I'm not able to be on the call, every day, it's there for me to listen to when I do have a chance to do that. And I have a reflective listening buddy, and I'm in the Conscious Compassionate Action Coaching class, and I don't even remember what else, but it's a real daily.
Yeah, you got some support.
Yes, I have tremendous support and just tremendous gratitude. I truly, every day, I'm aware of how lucky I am and how I acknowledge on the recorder and to myself repeatedly throughout the day just how lucky I am.
And if with that, I think this is what you're pointing at, then when there's an opportunity to challenge egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, instead of hearing, oh, I can't do that. There's just, no, that's just too much. I got to, instead you say, okay, I'm ready for a challenge. I have a ton of support, and I want to deepen my practice. So, yeah, I'll take that on.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
and
very good.
You know, I could choose from a number of things, but I do want to share one incident from yesterday that just is an example of how it works to, you mm-hmm. know, to ramp up practice and just be really present. And and my husband and I are looking at some fairly major carpentry projects coming up this next month. And we were sitting and we had a sort of household business meeting yesterday, and we're talking about the schedule and what needs to be done. And I can hear in my husband's voice the excitement about the project because he just loves this sort of thing. And I was excited about it too until he started talking about how all the things that had to be moved and how the pressure of the time frame and how hectic and or at least I was hearing it. Life is going to be extremely hectic and there was going to be so much
life, right. Life is chaos now. We're going into chaos.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And normally I would go with those labels or those words. Chaotic, mm-hmm. hectic, and start feeling mm-hmm. really bad. And mm-hmm. but I didn't. I just stopped and said, you know what? I hear the excitement in your voice, and what I'm experiencing is that it's really not. I don't want to go into a place where it's hectic and chaotic here, and I don't see the need for doing that. I see no need to do
uh-huh.
that. And, you know, mm-hmm. he came right around. It was immediate, like, well, you know, we can look at a different time frame. And so one of three major projects happened today. And I just got home from helping out with that. And I just got to enjoy so much his enthusiasm. He said, oh, you're going to be shocked and amazed at how this is going to come together. and I was.
And
I
you can just, yeah, and you can just enjoy it all, which is the point of
yeah.
this, right? When we're here, we can just enjoy it all. We don't need to go with ego's labels and ego's predictions about the future, what's going to happen and what we're going to feel and how it's going to be, because it doesn't know a single thing about any of it. And you can just be present and have fun, right? Have fun in life. All right. And that's only one project. You've got two more, so there is much fun ahead.
That's right. And just that
yeah.
unconditional presence, that unconditional
that's it.
Love. What is and presence.
Yep.
I just
yep.
can't
That's
thank
it.
You enough for pointing that out.
Oh, you are so very welcome. I love it that you're enjoying it.
I am truly enjoying it. And
all right. Thank you, Paula.
Have a beautiful day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ashwini? Uh-oh.
Thanks, Paula. Sorry, my phone was stuck. So
yes.
I'm going to just bring another caller online
while you work out technology.
Whatever's going on. Yes, I will.
Okay,
here's our next
All
caller.
Right.
You are now live
All
on the
right,
air.
Thank
Would
you.
You please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry. Hey, Ashwini. It's Karen.
Hello, Karen.
Hi.
How's the snow?
Oh, it's beautiful, and it's melting, and so that's an enjoyable process to see. It's melting, but it's very cold and wintry here, which I really love. So, yeah, I love
very
the
good. All right.
Yes. So
yes.
I just this assignment is wonderful because it's a very subtle place for me when that kind of conditioned responses. Well, this makes sense. I mean, it's not even in words that I would hear it. It's just sort of a okay, a feeling. But and it's really radical. It's really radical to question that. And because we're just so well, you know, that's how we're raised is and I know that if I'm kind of if I'm listening to that subtle place of this makes sense, then I'm listening to conditioning. And in some way it may make sense, but I don't want to get in the habit of listening to conditioning's opinion about anything.
Yes, you know, that's so funny. What I just saw when you said that, that's going to be very helpful to me. We get offended. We're conditioned to get defensive if somebody questions our view of the world. Right, so we're doing something together, and you I see something that makes sense to me. I mean, it's just obvious. This is just how you do it. This is just how it's done, and you question that because you were raised by different people, and I get defensive. Of course. So now I'm going to defend my perspective, my opinion, right? Having no awareness at all of what we're talking about, that it's all just conditioned beliefs and assumptions. And so what I saw when you said that is the same process that we're trained to do with other people, we're trained to do it. Whoa, somebody it needs to mute somewhere in the... maybe muting isn't going to help. That could be Ashwini's phone committing seppuku.
I didn't hear anything.
You can't hear anything?
No, well, I can hear you.
We just survived a major bombing. But anyway, okay, good. Well, if I was the only one having the experience, that's great. So, so the point of that long diatribe is realizing that it's the exact same process, whether I confront conditioning about what it says is sensible or you and I are in a situation. It's the same defensiveness. Conditioning really doesn't like to be challenged.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, gosh, yes. That leaves me kind of speechless, too.
Yeah, so it's fun, isn't it? So again, if I watch myself get defensive when somebody thinks my idea is not the best, then I can recognize that as a way I'm being controlled. It's not that I'm defending myself. It's how I'm trained to defend ego.
Yes, that's what I was seeing as well, because that defensiveness is ego's defensiveness.
Yes, yeah, and controlling us,
mm-hmm.
right? So we're meant to believe that, you know, I'm defending my point of view, and it's right, by golly, because it's mine. And so just to realize that system is there first to control me and then to get me to protect it. Wherever it is challenged, even by me.
Yes. We had this, where a lot of this process comes about in finances and how we're conditioned around money and how things have to make sense. And, of course, yes. I see many habits of mine that don't make sense at all, but they're never questioned. Because
yeah.
they're being orchestrated by conditioning, but we have just spent a very very large sum of money on our beloved Clio, and it doesn't make sense to conditioning or any of the rest of the world that I have told
right.
about and asked me.
That's right.
And it's so interesting to watch the response come up and conditions response comes up in me when I'm talking to someone about that because. You know, the world doesn't share my point of view, and it's been such an enlightening process to go through, and we're still going through it. So there.
Right. Oh, that's such a big one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That if love is in a form that has two legs, then there is not anything that shouldn't be done in order to keep that form intact.
Mm-hmm.
But if love comes in a form that has four legs,
mm-hmm.
well, you know, she was a good dog, but, you know, that then it her time has come.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really interesting perspective that I think is worth questioning, and I can tell you do too.
Well, and I'm so glad I had that experience to go up against that belief that love required me, that we're not, well, required, I mean, that I was,
yeah.
That
yeah.
I could
love requires us.
Yeah, I would have never, I mean, I was in that same camp of, oh, I would never do that. But I found out very quickly what I was willing for.
Right. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
So,
yeah. And if we just call it love, then what are we willing for?
Mm-hmm.
What does love help us be willing for?
That's my Cohen for the rest of the day.
Okay, good. Thank
All
you,
right.
Karen.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Karen. What a lovely Cohen, Sherry. What is love willing for? That common sense is, or even ego, is a program of beliefs and assumptions that is conditioned to survive.
Yes.
Not to love, and to be able to recontextualize that to what is love willing for?
Yeah. Well, and love really does have boundaries, you know, in the world of common sense. So, you know, it's okay for children around the world to die for lack of a few cents, few pennies of what it would take to give them clean water to drink. But my child... Why, if it cost millions, it's absolutely worth it. Of course, they're not going to be my millions because, you know, I want the insurance company to pay for it. Anyway, let's not get too political. However, that is one of those places that we really, we're really conditioned not to examine.
Exactly, and that being the point, which is, you know, when does it's just a set. It's what Karen said. I'm not willing for anything in my life to be controlled by conditioning or to listen to conditioning about anything.
Yeah.
And so,
even if I looked at it and agreed with it, I'm still not leaving it up to conditioning. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Susan, still stuck in Florida.
Oh, bless your heart. Did you find the necessary escape papers, or are you?
I have lined them up.
Wow.
That particular thing will not happen as far as I have any control over at this point. So thank you for
I had great sympathy because I had something very similar happen, but it had a much happier ending. I was in a in another city, and flew there. And in the course of the visit, unbeknownst to me, I lost my driver's license.
Yeah.
And I actually got a call from a young woman who found it and brought it to me. And it was one of those where, because I would not have gotten home, right? Because they don't let you on planes, as you know, if you don't have ID.
So
we're going to try again. Anyway, I bet it's been productive in terms of awareness.
Oh, my. Well, I mean, there was a lot of beating up at my irresponsibility and all that, but I did find that when I recorded and listened and had the thoughts out and got supportive feedback from the mentor, it didn't last nearly as long as I might have anticipated.
Isn't that a very, very good thing? An excellent thing. It takes us into what Paula actually started us out with, right? Well, and Karen was talking about it too, that when we realize we have access to the wisdom, love, and compassion that prevents suffering, that keeps us from suffering, it really doesn't matter so much what happens in life, because it's going to happen in love.
Yes, yes. It, or the love will be readily accessible.
Yeah. Right, yes, yeah. May take us a minute to get there, but it is it is ours. Yeah, it is ours to access and receive.
Yes, yes, and I'm so grateful for the practice and for recording and listening. I mm-hmm. when I fall off, it's usually I stop recording and listening. But it's I have seen that it's such a miracle that I am now setting my alarm 4 or 5 times a day. And when the alarm goes off, I stop what I'm doing most of the time, and I record and listen about whatever's going on then.
Isn't that a great way actually to have your life? You know, I mean, you're really present for it. You the alarm goes off, you stop, you look in, what's going on? And you talk to wisdom, love, and compassion about that. You get clarity about it. You're present. Yeah? Because ego would have us miss huge chunks of our life because we're caught up with it day after day after day after day. Come to, feel bad, get a beating, go unconscious again. And with what you're describing, you're actually getting to be present for and have your life.
Yes. Yes, I mean, ego says, you know, after I do these, they say, well, I didn't feel the love. So, you know, I just kind of keep doing
it.
Ego. I just kind of keep doing it. And, you know,
what can we say, ego? you're not terribly open to love. And so that may just be how it is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But Susan is open to love.
Yes. She's hoping to live there more and more.
Absolutely. And we want her to.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now,
she deserves it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's probably a little underlying theme of there's a little underlying theme, which somebody talked about last week, of not thinking you deserve it,
mm-hmm.
you know, of...
Yeah.
Well,
being
told, that really hit a note. So.
Yeah. Being told that we don't deserve it long enough until we believe we don't deserve it.
That's
one of the big lies that we're undoing.
Yes. Well, now I hope you don't mind, but I have a couple of other things. I hope they'll be quickly said. I did do the exercise about the common sense, and so it's been me and my Christmas tree the rest of the weekend. And so I noticed this morning, I look at the tree, and then I hear the voice, those two ornaments or those three ornaments are too much alike. You need to move them. And so this morning, when that thought came up, I said, how do you know that? And the voiceable, and just kind of like disbelief.
Well,
my mother taught me that. And so I said, well, let's just try leaving them where they are. And so, you know, she kind of said, well, I'm going to be having to point it out, I guess, or something. You know, it's like, I'm not giving up on this. And so it was kind of interesting. So I can't wait to see what happens, you know, going
forward. Yes, how long that battle might be fought. And that's one of those places where if you train yourself to come back to unconditional love, whatever your mantra is, every time you hear that, every time you look at those, they become a reminder to come back here, to come back to the unconditional, then they will serve a tremendous purpose.
Yes. So they're staying.
good.
And, you know, I hear the voice, just wait till your daughter sees that, you know, or something.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
Because her mother told her, too.
That's right. Funny, isn't that? And so the second thing is that I have come to realize, I've had an awareness that And I believe this is, I don't know if I'm having a neurological event or if this is ego, but when I was trying to get ready for my trip, I was looking for my recorder, and I put it in the top desk drawer, and so I went to look there, and it wasn't there. I didn't see it. And I looked all over the house for it. I asked somebody if I'd lent it to them. I looked in the desk drawer several times. And so I finally went out and bought one and packed it and everything. And so I ended up, you know, not having to use that one this round. And so after all that was done and said and done, I went to look in my top drawer, and there it was.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't know if it's a neurological event or
well,
if it, and I'll be checking on that because I know there's a psychological term for it called scomato or schemata.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going, well, and it's kind of like selective inattention.
Yes, yes. Oh, anybody who's done awareness practice for any length of time knows that exactly. We call it in practice a bamboozle.
Yes. I was so bamboozled. Yep. I mean, the effort I put into it and then the going out and buying one. And then there it is, plain as day.
Yes.
I wouldn't
worry about the brain. Because that whole trip was an opportunity for you to see exactly how conditioning can bamboozle and sabotage just a few of the shenanigans that it can pull in the places that it can take us and try to get us into a self-hating place. So, well, I see we're at time. So,
okay, but thank you very much.
You are so welcome. Take good care of yourself. Let's try it again.
Thank you. Okay, we will.
Okay,
for
bye-bye.
Sure. I will. We'll see what
all right.
Gosho, Swinny.
Gotcha.
Thanks, Susan. You know, Sherry, I was that last line about selective inattention, I think the Buddha called it ignorance, the root cause of suffering.
Yes, right? Ignoring.
Ignoring that when we're so conditioned to see the world in a particular way that we don't see the world as it is.
Yes. Yeah,
we don't see, period.
And, of course, with practice, you know, over the years we've just heard countless stories like that, you know, of people losing their zafu, their meditation cushion, in the house, you know, that sort of, and then days later, there it is. And you think, I'm losing my mind. And then actually all we're realizing is what goes on with the mind.
Yes.
And how sharply we must watch it.
Yes, yes. And the flip side of that is it's so wonderful to lose conditioned mind.
Yes. That's the mind to lose.
That's the mind to lose.
Yeah.
Well, Sherry, we are almost at the end of the show, and I don't think we have time for one more caller. So how about I just read the assignment?
All right. That sounds good.
If we cannot be clever, we can always be kind. Ramdas said when his teacher wanted to chide him, he would call him clever. Perhaps that was because there can be so much ego in clever. In kind? Never. One supposes a person could be clever in the use of kindness, but that wouldn't actually be kind, would it? Today, notice ego's eagerness to be sharp, quick-witted, and smart, while the heart just wants to be present, which is kind. Record and listen.
Wow. Just hearing that, I can just feel the whole system kind of go,
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, Sherry, that's one of those places I always go to, that there's so many things in life that feel impossible, but being kind does not.
Mhm. Yeah. Yeah.
It's sort of like a base unit of awareness almost.
Mhm. Yeah. Mhm. It's always available to us.
Always be available. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry, and we'll talk to everybody tomorrow.
All right. Go happy.
Go happy. Take care.